Banishment is a rare and severe form of punishment in Indian country. People often lose their homes, are stripped of their jobs, and barred from entering the reservation. It's often used on violent offenders or drug dealers. But in the Uinta and Ouray Indian Reservation in Utah, a handful of tribal elders are suing in federal court after they were banished for murkier reasons. Our Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie reports that lawsuit could make it to the Supreme Court and change case law on this cultural practice.
A winter storm is closing in on Roosevelt, Utah, when I enter a Mexican restaurant on the edge of town.
Are you with the
lady? I am, yeah.
Okay. Right.
The waitress knows why I'm here, and she leads me to a back room where the four women from the Uinta and Ouray Indian Reservation are eating chips and salsa. Okay. Most of the women are elders. They seem happy right now, but they say this past year has been hard, ever since they were banished from the reservation.
It changed our lives.
That's Angelita Chigup.
I mean, one moment I had a job, the next moment I didn't.
Chigup says the banishment forced her into an early retirement from her job as a grant coordinator for the tribe. She lost her health and life insurance. Now, unless Chigup has a police escort, she can't attend traditional ceremonies on reservation lands or visit friends and family. She says she even missed funerals.
I mean, our families died. I've had few die quite a bit. Couldn't attend the funeral because of what the council decided.
Chigup and the five other women were banished because they continually challenged the legitimacy of that council. They intervened in major lawsuits pertaining to the tribe, using every opportunity to assert what they see as their sovereignty and their right to have a voice at the table. You see, these women argue they have 19th century treaty rights to the Uinta Valley, an oil-rich part of the reservation.
We've been bringing this issue out to where, hey, we all need to know our history here.
That history is at the core of this dispute. Chigup says she's from the Uinta Band of Indians of Utah, and that they've lived in the valley since time immemorial. In 1861, President Abraham Lincoln signed an executive order granting the band ownership over the land there. But over the subsequent decades, the valley became part of a larger reservation. The U.S. government eventually moved more bands onto that reservation, merged the Uinta Band with one of them, and then, finally, clumped them all together into a single federally recognized tribe, the Ute Indian Tribe of the Uinta and Ouray Reservation. And it's that Ute tribe that now holds power and runs the reservation.
We're not one people. We're not one people. There are three bands.
The old Uinta Band argues they still have treaty rights to their original 1861 lands. Eventually, though, the Ute tribe got tired of dealing with this breakaway faction. Its leadership claimed the women's court interventions were costing them millions of dollars. A petition was signed by 70 Ute tribal members, and the women were banished for 5 years. Now their mugshots are posted behind a security desk at tribal headquarters, thumbtack next to a couple of drug dealers who were also banished. I'm visiting to hear Ute Tribal Chairman Luke Duncan's side of the story.
This is committee.
Duncan was one of the men in charge of banishing the women. I wait for more than 2 hours outside council chambers to meet him. Eventually, just as the office is closing, they let me inside. But Duncan appears surprised and unhappy to see me.
I'm Nate, by the way.
You're not a reporter, are you?
I'm a reporter.
I don't want to talk to reporters.
Duncan says there's a lot of misinformation out there about the Uinta Band story, but he won't comment anymore because of the current litigation. See, the women sued the Ute tribe in federal court, arguing that their banishment is a violation of their civil rights. That case was dismissed, but now they're appealing it to the 10th Circuit. In the lower court ruling, the judge essentially said tribes are sovereign nations, so the federal courts can't get involved in this dispute. Grant Christensen is an Indian law professor at the University of North Dakota.
Tribes are not inherently bound by the U.S. Constitution. Instead, Congress wrote a law back in 1968 called the Indian Civil Rights Act that extends most but not all of our constitutional protections onto tribal governments.
But here's the thing. Enforcement of that 1968 law has been mostly struck down by the courts because tribes are considered sovereign nations. There is one exception, though. Tribes can't unlawfully detain people. The federal courts are currently split over whether this kind of temporary banishment is a form of unlawful detainment. If the 10th Circuit decides to hear the case, it could set up a fight that ends up in the Supreme Court. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie in Roosevelt, Utah.